Well, good morning. Can you hear me? More importantly, how does this look? I look okay? Well, I just am delighted to be with you this morning. And my name is Chris Bingaman. I am one of the elders here at Sunbury City Church. And usually when Derek is here, oftentimes he opens his time when he's on the before his message just to highlight things that have happened where God has been at work within our church, within our community. And I would like to use this time this morning a little emotional for me, but to reflect on Derek and Alicia. Being an elder, I get to see a little more firsthand of what a pastor and his wife endure. And I got to tell you that I watched these two pray for you. I know many of you have been touched by their lives ministry-wise, and no one knows how difficult it has been to minister through COVID. What should we do? Should we wear a face mask? How we should separate ourselves? What we can do to keep people safe? And they have labored and worked to try to make sure that our church also, no one really cared for you, loved you physically, but spiritually as well. We are extremely blessed to have those two in our as our church shepherds. And I just wanted to acknowledge that today. And I just would like to take a moment. First off, just I wanted to recognize that because it's not been easy these last few months or the past year with the pandemic. But also, just to take a moment, let's pray for them. They're off. They're having a day's vacation. Desperately need it. And I just want to pray God's blessing and restoration upon them here this morning before we begin. So join me in praying, would you? Father, I'm so grateful today for the way you have blessed us through giving us a shepherd like Derek and his wife, Alicia. I know that none of us can appreciate the hardships, the heartache, the rejection, many times the ridicule that as a pastor and his wife, what they go through and how difficult it is to minister and persevere when you love someone and yet you feel like you're not pleasing anyone. And yet, I know they feel called because they want to love, serve you, and make disciples within our church family. So this morning, I just pray that they'll feel your presence in a special way. They'll feel our love in a special way. That as a congregation, we'll continue to be mindful of the role they play and how we can support them and love them. And Lord, that you'll just continue to bless their ministry, that you will use them to continue to build your kingdom here in Sunbury. That's our prayer this morning. Hear our prayer, O Lord. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we're spending summer in the Psalms. Summer in the Psalms. Second summer we did this. And this morning we're going to be looking at Psalm 141. If you have your Bible, you might want to turn to Psalm 141. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. And Psalms about found roughly in the middle of the Bible. And we're going to be looking at Psalm 141. And, you know, when I was preparing this message and looking at this psalm this morning, it made me reflect back, which often, you know, I'm sure when you're reading the Bible, you start to think about life experiences, something that occurred that you relate to. And that was really the case this morning, earlier when I read this psalm, I want to share with you this morning, it actually took me back to when I was a freshman in high school. Now, I know that's quite a few years ago, and you don't need you put your calculators away to figure it out. Just know it's a lot of years ago. But I was a freshman in high school, and I love sports. In fact, I kind of live for sports, and my favorite sport was basketball. And I heard that we should back up and just say, and what I would often do is go to the local colleges. I lived here in the area, so I'd go watch college games at Susquehanna, at Bucknell, and just enjoyed the game of basketball. And at the spring of my freshman year in high school, word came out that we were going to be getting a new basketball coach, that one of the players, the actual captain of the Susquehanna University basketball team, was going to be coming to be our coach, took a teaching job in our district, was going to be our new head basketball coach. I was so excited. I thought, this guy, I've watched him play. I had so much respect for. He's going to now come and be my coach. Well, right before school ended that year, there was an announcement that anyone who wanted to play basketball next year should meet at this particular room at this particular time, and the new head coach was going to be there to meet with us. So I was really excited about finding a chance to meet this guy and hear what he had to say. So he walked into the room, and he was a tall, probably about 6'8", intimidating figure, but he started to talk to us and said, I want you to know I'm here because I have high expectations for what we're going to do. And he said, I believe in the three D's. The three D's are desire, dedication, and discipline. He said, you're here at this meeting today because you obviously have a desire to play basketball. But he said, I'm here to make sure that you know if you have a desire, I better see your dedication. And what that means is we're going to be playing this summer. And he went through a whole regiment, handed out a sheet and what our schedule was going to be. And it's like, whoa. And he said, if you're dedicated, you're going to discipline yourself to meet this schedule and do what I'm asking. I never forgot that, obviously, with reading this psalm. And, there's been many times in my life where that came back to me because I thought I wanted to do something, had a desire to do something. Then I had to ask myself, now, am I really dedicated to that? Am I going to really follow through with that? And if I am I going to discipline myself to make it happen? I mean, you go through that all the time, right? Even like something financially, I'd like to get that. But if you're going to get that, you've got to discipline yourself because you're going to maybe give up something else. Dedication, discipline is a part of life. And sometimes I know we look at discipline as maybe in a negative way when we hear that word. But if you think about it, discipline is part of the root word of disciple, right? If you want to be a disciple, you really have to think about what you being disciplined to serve another, right? Disciple, if you look it up in Webster, it says followers of Jesus, someone who is willing to give of themselves or their own well-being for another. That's a disciple. That's discipline. And you will know through Scripture many disciples who wrote in Scripture, they described themselves as such, right? They called themselves servants, bond servants. They were accepting their role, that they were giving up, that they were there. They were because of their love for God, they were there to serve another. I really, as I was thinking about this whole concept, I really was stuck by 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Listen to what it says. It says, have nothing to do with irreverent or silly myths. Rather, discipline yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way. And don't miss this. Here's what it says. As it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. What I'm hoping to share with you today is how being a disciple of Jesus holds such promise for the lives we have here on this earth and the lives that we have to come, or we have to look forward to. And that's really what our mission statement is, right? Summary City Church mission statement is we exist to make disciples who love God, live the gospel, embrace our community, and plant movements. That's what we're here for. And so today's point is being a disciple of Christ requires discipline. Being a disciple of Christ requires discipline. So, I'd like you to, if you would, we're going to look at our passage this morning, Psalm 141. If you turn there, if you have it, open your Bibles. And as a respect to God's word, we ask if the congregation stands, if you can, as for the reading of God's word as we read Psalm 141. O Lord, I call upon you. Hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call to you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and lifting up my hands as evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline to any evil, to busy myself with wicked deeds in the company of men who work iniquity. And let me not eat of their delicacies. Let a righteous man strike me. It is kindness. Let him rebuke me. It is oil for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Yet my prayers continue against evil, their evil deeds. When their judges are thrown over the cliff, then they shall hear my words, for they are pleasant. As when one plows and breaks up the earth, so shall our bones be scattered at the mouth of Sheol. But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of evildoers. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I pass by safely. This is the word of the Lord. The congregation said, thanks be to God. You may be seated. Perhaps we have two groups of people here this morning. Certainly, I know some of you, and I know that you identify as disciples of Jesus. You're here, you're in, and you want to serve God with your lives. I'm hopeful for you that as we go through this passage this morning, it'll just give you a greater love for what God has laid out for us to live lives that are free from ourselves in light of eternity. However, there also may be somebody here that is still investigating Christianity. You like some of the things that Christianity teaches, but you're just not sure you're ready to give up your freedoms, some of the things you really want to do. I hope this passage provides a vision for you, what true freedom really is and what it looks like to live a purposeful life. In this psalm penned by David, I just want to call your attention to four areas of application, the four areas we're going to cover this morning. The first is our prayer. The second will be our heart. The third will be our instruction. And the fourth will be our refuge. Our prayer, our heart, our instruction, our refuge. Our prayer. Look at verses 1 and 2. O Lord, I call upon you, hasten to me. Give ear to my voice when I call upon you. Let my prayer be counted as incense before you, and the lifting up of my hands as evening sacrifice. I think we all can agree it would be impossible for you to have a relationship with someone you never communicate with. One pastor recently, I heard him say, prayerlessness is a drug that's easy to get hooked on. And I will be the first to admit that all someone has to say is prayer, and I begin to feel convicted. Because I know that many times I fail in this area of really taking things to God in prayer. But many of the Psalms are David's prayer to his God, as this one is. This psalm was written by David. He says, give ear to my voice. Give ear to my voice. Does God know your voice? Does he know who you are? Counted it as incense. What comes to mind when you think of incense? Something pleasant. Something that is pleasant to the senses. And that's what David says here. David says, may my prayers be a sweet fragrance before you. Did you ever stop to ponder how God views you? That's a big part of our prayers, isn't it? I love a portion of scripture in the prophet Zephaniah. Here's what he says about how God views his people. Don't miss this. It says, Zephaniah says, he will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love, and he will exalt over you with loud singing. Do you ever think about God viewing you that way? Yes, your prayers would be a sweet fragrance to him. And yet frequently, and I'm with this, I've fallen into the same trap. We approach God as a great vending machine in the sky. The first thing we're thinking about is what we want to pray for, who we want to pray for. And we're called to bring things before God, but is that all God is there for? I think David is reminding us that is not the approach. Look what he says, lifting our hands is an evening sacrifice. Do you come to God as a human sacrifice of saying, God, I am here to serve you? Adoring him, acknowledging. That's what the Lord, Jesus, was on this earth through the Lord's Prayer, what he taught in his disciples. How did he teach them to pray? It started off with, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Additionally, Jesus continued to teach and model how he prayed. In Luke 18, he gave the parable of the woman before the judge and said, we should pray persistently, instructing us that not lose heart. And then who could ever forget the prayer Jesus prayed on the cross when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt forsaken? His son, Jesus, exemplified that very prayer to God that we're to open our hearts before God. Later on, and some of the apostles give us more instruction to prayer. Paul in Thessalonians says, pray without ceasing. It should be the breathing, what we do. James says, the prayer of a righteous person has great power. I know there was times in my life when I had difficult things I was going through, and I specifically called people that I valued their righteousness, and valued their love for Jesus, and say, would you pray for me? You know, the biggest obstacle to prayer is our lack of faith, seeing God for who he is. And that's one of the reasons why you saw here on the end of this month, we're going to have a prayer night here at Sunbury City Church. We want to be a church that prays. We want to be a church that learns how to pray together and values prayer. And I think some of those prayer nights, if you've not been here before, I encourage you to come. It's some of the most precious time we share together as a congregation. Church, prayer is the oxygen that keeps our hearts healthy. And speaking of heart, look at verse number 3. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not let my heart incline any evil to busy myself with the wicked deeds in the company of men who work iniquity. Let me not eat of their delicacies. Set a guard over my mouth. When I was younger, I really remember sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Have you heard that before? More importantly, do you believe it? It's a lie. I'm sure most everyone here can recall a comment, a hurtful comment mostly, that somebody made. You can probably remember where it was said, the exact words that were said, and certainly who said it. Listen to me, mom, dad, son, daughter. Your words matter. The Bible has a lot to say about the connection between our hearts and our mouths. Matthew 12 says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. What do your words say about your heart? I can tell you this. I wish there was words I could take back. I really like the appeal that James made to Christians. And here's what he said. James chapter 1, he said, "Be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, this person's religion is worthless." Quick to hear, slow to speak. Frequently in my life, I wasn't listening. I was preparing the next thing I was going to say to respond. And listen to me, church, Christians of all people should be listeners. Working to understand. How often have we thought or we said, "I don't know why they said that. I don't know why they did that." Well, if you said that, then who needs an education? You do, to understand why. I really like the story that Philip Yancey shared in the book, and it really has to do many times with us just thinking through why someone does something that might irritate us. And I guess I can relate to it because I know I am one person that has very little patience, and particularly has very little patience if I'm waiting in line somewhere. I'm terrible with that. First thing I want to do is chew somebody out for not doing their job. And Philip Yancey related his story that he was in line, he was in a hurry to get somewhere, and he was in line at a, let's just say it was a little supermarket, mini mart, and there was this lady who he could tell was speaking broken English, must have been her first day on the job, and she's trying to put things into the cash register and it wasn't working with a line in front of it. And he's thinking, "Oh my gosh, what? Are you kidding me? Why don't you hire people to know what they're doing? Why don't you just train them?" He's going through the whole thing that I would be going through if I was Philip Yancey. And then the Lord spoke to him. Said, "Philip, you know what? Do you ever think about the fact that that woman maybe is a refugee that came from a place that she experienced horrible persecution? She came here, she's trying to learn English, she's got 3 kids, and she's trying to take this job to try to feed them." And he started to go through the whole exercise. He said, "It changed my whole attitude and outlook about how I felt about that individual." And I can tell you, it's been my experience, some of the people that have irritated me the most have frustrated me the most with their actions. When I understand more about the backstory, more about who they were, what they've experienced, the lack of any kind of person that loved them, had in their lives, lack of impact. It changed your whole outlook, the compassion you have. I'm asking, I'm pleading with you, when you encounter people, be a listener. Try to get their story. Try to know what it is in their lives, something about them. People that you maybe disagree with. I think one of the best practices that someone shared with me one time is when someone's making an argument that you maybe disagree with, instead of thinking about what your next statement is going to be, it's a great exercise to say, "Let me repeat back what I heard you say. I want to make sure I understand." Make an effort to get to know who they are, what they're thinking. Our prayers, our hearts, our instruction is the next point. Look at verse 5. Let the righteous man strike me, it is kindness. Let him rebuke me, it is all for my head. Let my head not refuse it. Proverbs 25:12 says, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. There's that word listening again. Yeesh. Instruction. Do you regularly seek instruction? Proverbs 12:1 says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates a reprover is stupid. Pretty clear. And I want to say to you this morning, it is impossible for you to become a disciple of Jesus without willing to submit to his lordship and seek his guidance and advice. And that instruction starts with his word, what we're looking at this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, for all scripture is breathed out of God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and training in righteousness, that the man of God, that you and I, may be complete, equipped for every good work. God's word also, that very word talked about, provides a template for the church to make disciples. We're the body of Christ. And that's what we do through Bible study, through preaching, through being here this morning, through teaching, through being accountable to each other in our conversations. It's oil for my head. That's what David said. His oil for my head. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I got to tell you, as an elder at Sunbury City Church, one of the most daunting tasks for me is trying to fulfill my godly role as an elder, and particularly shepherding the flock of Sunbury City Church. That times means difficult conversations. We've got to talk to someone, but we're doing it because it's what the scripture calls us to do. And as a congregation, not just you, elders as well, we need to be held accountable to God's word. The church was designed to protect the bride of Christ. That's you and me. And yet, let's face it, the motto of the church is countercultural. It's not popular. In fact, we live in a time when most people are looking for less rights or less responsibilities and more rights. What do you mean I got to submit to you? Why? I got to do that? Why? You say, you want me to come to church, be involved regularly, serve other people, give money? Why would I do that? Well, I'm glad you ask. Look at verse 8. Our refuge. But my eyes are toward you, O God, my Lord. In you I seek refuge. Leave me not defenseless. Keep me from the trap that they have laid for me and from the snares of evil doers. I seek refuge. David says here, I seek refuge in you, O God. Keep me from the trap. First this morning, I just want to speak to any of you who have not committed to following Christ. Any of those of you that are here, you're still not sure you want to become a disciple. You like some things Christianity represents, but you also are a little concerned about giving up some of your freedom. But when David says here, keep me from the trap, and if you know anything about David, you know he often made bad choices. a murderer, an adulterer. And he knew the snares of evildoers, but he also found freedom through the relationship with his God. And perhaps this morning you're feeling trapped, disappointed from expectations of what you've hoped would bring joy through a career, financial status, or maybe you're struggling with an addiction. My eyes are towards you, O God. David's refuge was found in God. And I want to just say this morning to you. There's a portion of scripture in John chapter 6 where Jesus was teaching. He's giving the gospel to a group of people. And not everybody is going to want to hear the gospel. And so at the end of Jesus' talk, a few of the people that were there said, that sounds good, but I don't think it's for me, and marshaled off. And Jesus asked his disciples this question. He said, are you going to go too? And Peter said, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. I don't know what you might be looking for, what you're trying to find, but I'm telling you, where else are you going to go to find truth? The truth is, you were created by God to glorify Him, and you will find life, a purposeful life, only through serving the risen Savior. Later on in John, Jesus said it this way, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You say, I wish I had that kind of faith. I'm telling you, you already do. It's just in something else. You have all the faith you need. You just need to refocus it on the one who created you. Now let me speak and finish by speaking to those who are disciples. I just want to remind you again, as I just was speaking a moment ago, that you were created to glorify God and charged to be His presence on earth. Carry out His mission. This psalm reminds us of the privilege we have to communicate with the living God through prayer. How we need to guard our hearts, be seeking, accepting instruction, and adoring the God that gives the freedom and is our refuge. Ephesians remind us as believers, we say, but God who is rich in mercy because of His great love, because of His great love for which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive to Christ by grace. By grace we've been saved through faith. Church, we are a holy priesthood. People for God's own possession. That we may proclaim the excellence of Him who called you out of darkness. Called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. When you see Jesus and who He is, it's like that blind man that said, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. I love the way it characterizes the Church of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Don't miss this, church. It says, through us, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of Him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ, of God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Are you God's aroma? Will you go places and you're around other people? Do they leave? When they leave, you leave, and they think, oh, I really appreciate the presence of that individual. That's who we're to be. I want to take us back to the verse of scripture I started with in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says this: have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Discipline yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, and it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. I want to just go back to that point I made, today's point, call it the final point. Being a disciple of Christ requires discipline. But add this to it, that will bring a purposeful life. You know, there's a lot of talk about freedom, and I think living in the United States, we all appreciate freedom. But I've heard this said before, true freedom is found in a proper restraint. And the example that I was given is the Susquehanna River down here flows freely. Streams from north and west come together and flow off the mountains and flow freely into the Chesapeake Bay. But that freedom is constrained by its banks. And if that river gets outside of its banks, the normal constraints, it no longer has freedom, but it becomes devastating. Folks, think about that. If you are an unbeliever, I'm telling you, the freedom that comes, maybe there's things that are outside your banks that have been devastating. You can find freedom through Jesus. And if you are a believer, that's what this word is for. That's why we come and we meet, and we want to be the aroma of Christ, the body of Christ, that we can remain free in him. As Jesus said, I will make you free indeed. Let's pray. Father, I'm so grateful for your word. Each time that I have this privilege of sharing it with a group of people, I'm reminded of the truths that are here that are priceless. They give meaning to life, give us purpose to live, guidance for human relationships because of your love for us. Father, it's hard for me to comprehend your love, but I accept it, and I thank you so much for it. And I pray that if there's anyone here that has never embrace that love through faith, this morning will be their time to do that. And for those of us who claim the name of Christ, Father, may we just be renewed in our love for your truths. May we be renewed in our dedication to discipline ourselves to be Christ followers and to be your fragrance, your aroma in everything that we touch, all that we're involved with, and everything that we do. That's our prayer this morning. In Christ's name, amen.